This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Welcome to the 344th episode of the 4th and 24 podcast with Patrick Winograd. I am your host for today, Patrick Winograd. Of course, this is a big, big, big episode for us because it's the NCAA tournament. So in this edition, our topics are a review of my weekend predictions, and we're skipping the NBA for a week. We're just going into all things NCAA tournament. Next week, the NBA will be back, and more importantly, the MLB will actually have a little preview from us, probably a little bit shorter since there's still a lot going on in basketball. But let's jump right in with a look back at my weekend predictions. Starting in college basketball, in conference tournament action, I went 3-1. And then in the NBA, I went 1-3, so another 4-4 week. That brought me to 1506 and 953 overall, a 61.2% winning percentage. And of course, going back to those individual results, number 10 Virginia beat NC State 81-74. That was a win for me. Ohio State beat Iowa 72-69. That was another win for me. Number 7 Iowa State beat number 16 Texas Tech 75-53. That was another win for me. And then the only game I got wrong was Miami beating Louisville, getting their revenge for what happened a week earlier. I picked both of those games wrong. The regular season one, I had Miami. The conference championship game one, I had Louisville, and it happened in the opposite order. So that one was an incorrect prediction, but overall, really exciting conference championship weekend, honestly. A lot of game of the year contenders when you look really all around the country. You can look at Penn and Yale. You can look at whatever you want to call the ending of the WAC championship. Obviously, Arizona played two classics, especially the one against Iowa State. That was an amazing game to watch. There was Vanderbilt's run and Arkansas's run. Those two teams were both very exciting, while the rest of the SEC produced really weird results. But overall, just fun conference tournament weekend, and all those predictions came from conference tournaments. In the NBA, the Nuggets beat the Spurs 136-131. I lost that. The Thunder beat the Celtics 104-102. That was the only prediction I got right this week. And the Magic beat the Heat 121-117. I picked the Magic because the Heat were 0-4 against the Magic this season. And I was thinking, these two teams are even in record or almost even in record. There is no way the Magic are going to go 5-0 against the Heat in the season. And yet, here we are. I was wrong. They, in fact, did go 5-0 against the Heat this season. Very interesting because I guess, you know, technically down the road, that could be a playoff series or even a play-in game or something. Be interested to see what happens in that matchup. But then finally, the Raptors beat the Pistons 119-108. Again, another series that could be a playoff matchup. Maybe a first-round matchup. Maybe second round. Who knows? But that was also incorrect. Of course, the only correct pick was the Thunder. But that's all we have for weekend predictions. Of course, next week they will be back again with NCAA tournament predictions. And now that we are here, look, I will be honest. I don't have any plan of things I want to talk about here. I just want to talk about everything in this tournament. I guess I'll start, obviously, with bracketology, which obviously is pretty important to me in terms of things that I do and just the overall, really the structure of this podcast and this whole platform, so to speak. But in the NCAA tournament predictions, in terms of bracketology accuracy, I had a 380 Payman score, which is, interestingly, if you went back from 2021 to 2025, that would have won every single year of the bracket matrix. And yet this year, that was tied for 44th. This year was, look, I mean, it's a year that just means that the committee did their job well. It means that they stuck to what they say they go by. Because in a year where the metrics are all off, that means that they didn't stick to what they say they use to judge teams. This year, clearly, they stuck to that formula. So really interesting, just really interesting overall. Year. The winner had a 393 Payman score. The second place was 388. So overall, I believe, if I did this math correctly, there were 100 people or almost 100. Yeah, there were 101 brackets who had the same record as the best, the previous best score over the last 3 years, which is, I mean, it's just incredible. The bracketology community this year was on it. And I'm proud to say that I was at least in the top quarter of that, which, take it. Pretty good result for me. Again, 380 score. I think there are 230-ish, 250. Actually, I know this number. I can find it. It's 290 bracketologists who are in the bracket matrix somewhere. So I'll take 44th out of that group. Any day of the week, I was already tied for 42nd overall in accuracy over the last 5 years rolling average, so I'm assuming that will either stay the same or maybe go up a little bit. I honestly don't know the math on that. There might be some people joining from there are two categories for how long you've been in the matrix for people who have joined recently. There might be some people graduating from that group that have had really, really good years, and in that case, might go down a little bit, but we'll just have to see. I'm going to wait and find out. They're not updated yet, but of course they will be updated eventually. But anyway, regardless, very happy with the bracket. Honestly, there I don't have too many gripes. If I'm going to go with the things that kind of upset me, that's more actually where teams are placed for personal reasons than it is anything wrong with the seeding. I think Nebraska is probably the first team I look at where I go, that team, it feels like they achieved a lot to only get a 4 seed. It felt like the 3 seed that they got at the selection committee's top 16 reveal probably could have stayed the same. But when you look at what everybody else did around them in that top 8, I mean, there were a lot of really good teams moving up in that mix. I think, you know, Virginia, after all, did also have 2 losses after the committee reveal, but both of them were to Duke. So the committee just said, look what they did against some other tournament teams, while Nebraska really just beat up on some bad teams in the Big Ten, which, it's not their fault. They just played the tougher part of their regular season schedule way earlier in the season. But I think that would be my biggest gripe. And then also Vanderbilt in that same region. I don't think they should have been a 5. I think that was probably too low. If anything, they should have been a 3 or a 4. I landed on 4 in my final bracketology, but I had them pretty high up the 4 seed line. I think I actually had them as the highest rated 4 seed. So I guess technically they're underseeded as well. In terms of the Illinois, Purdue, Michigan State debate, I don't really have a problem with them actually valuing conference tournaments. I mean, normally that's something they don't do. So Arkansas getting their 4, well-deserved if you're using the conference tournaments. And Purdue getting a 2, also well-deserved if you're using the conference tournaments. That just hasn't really been the case in the past. So interesting that they did that, although I'm actually not mad about that at all. But then, you know, some people argue, okay, well then, did they really use conference tournaments? Because how did St. John's end up with a 5? I don't know. I think one team was kind of the odd team out. I think the same thing is true on the 6 line as well. When you're looking at a team like Tennessee, they probably in any other year would have been a 5, but there were just a lot of teams that were worthy of that. You know, Wisconsin didn't have the metric profile that Tennessee did necessarily, but when you look at the teams that they beat, you just kind of couldn't deny them that 5 seed spot. So I think Tennessee was kind of the odd team out on the 6 line. Their resume, I think, is better by a pretty good margin than a BYU and a North Carolina team that both have injury issues and a Louisville team that struggled to beat good competition all year long. And I think that the same is kind of true for a few other seed lines as well. I think you can look at that and have the same opinion. And St. John's is probably one of them where you'd say that team's a little underseeded. But in reality, I think they're just the odd team out. I think there were probably 4 or 5 teams that deserved a 4 seed this year, and they're just the one who got the short end of things. And, you know, you could argue that Kansas should have been
that 5 instead, just by sheer amount of losses. But then, guess what? They put Kansas and St. John's in the same region anyway. So if you really want to prove that you should have gotten the 4 and they should have gotten the 5, you have the opportunity to figure it out. Just beat them. Simple as that. So speaking of that region and speaking of everything, I think that region actually is a great place to start because the East has been the topic of much debate. A lot of people seem to think it's the easiest region, and a lot of people seem to think it's the hardest region, and there's really no in between. I think there's some leeway there. I do think that in terms of the overall talent on these teams and the coaching and the name brands for sure. I mean, you look at Duke, Michigan State, UCLA, and UConn, and Kansas, all in the same region. You're looking at all blue bloods. I mean, those are teams that everybody considers at least in that conversation. When you're talking about UCLA, I mean, obviously, you know, they don't have the recent success, but Duke is obviously the premier program and has been for, you know, 20 or so years. And at the same time, Kansas has always been right there with them and has been historically more successful going back, you know, to early 1950s, 60s, 70s, et cetera. And then, you know, UConn is kind of the same thing where they've been trending recently. They're kind of the anti-UCLA where they have all their titles recently and none of them from a while ago. Michigan State's kind of more consistent, not quite the peaks of either of those teams. But you're looking around the rest of the tournament, the other big names, you have North Carolina, you have Kentucky, they're in separate regions. Obviously, there are other programs that are kind of in that next tier when you're talking about Villanova and Arizona, Michigan, you know, those types of teams are kind of littered throughout the bracket. But in Illinois, too, in Houston, you could also throw in that group. Tennessee, you could throw in that group. There's kind of a debate about, you know, who belongs in that next tier or whatever. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I just would like to say that the name brand value, of course, in the East is by far the highest. When you're looking at those top 6 seeds and you have Duke, UConn, Michigan State, Kansas, St. John's, Louisville, and UCLA, all the way to the 7 seeds, there is not a program that isn't a big name. And even Ohio State, obviously, is a program with a lot of all-time relevance. So it's a really interesting region name-wise. However, I really think a lot of these teams are unreliable. I think that Duke's injuries are going to cause them some problems in the tournament, but the way that they just ran through the ACC tournament, I don't see how they're going to lose in this region because they already beat a 3 seed in the ACC tournament, that, of course, being Virginia. Obviously, yes, they were close to Florida State, but Florida State, I don't think people realize, Florida State's like the equivalent of playing like a team like USF at this point of the year. That team was beating everybody towards the end of the season. I think they were maybe 2 or 3 games under 500 and ended the year like 4 above because they won, I want to say, 10 of 13, something like that, to end the season. And it wasn't against bad competition. They were at some point Clemson's worst loss in their resume. And I think people need to realize that and realize that Duke was playing their first game without Foster and Ngogba, and they needed to adapt to that. Once they had played their first game without him, it felt like they had gotten better every single game leading up to playing a Virginia team that was dominating that tournament, and they still won that game, even though they were shorthanded. So I still will say that I still think Duke is pretty clearly the favorite in this region. However, St. John's is coming off the Big East title. They're hot. They lost to UConn by 30 earlier in the season, only a few weeks ago, and then came back and beat them by 20 at MSG over the weekend to claim the Big East title. So there's some interesting storylines with them, what they can do in the tournament. I do believe that they have potential. However, Kansas is going to have the best player on the floor when those two match up with each other, obviously with Darren Peterson. And interestingly enough, I trust Flory Badunga to be a strong inside presence against Zubi Ejiofor, Bryce Hopkins when he tries to mix it up in the paint as well. I think Kansas matches up pretty well with what St. John's does well. Kansas defends really well, at least in my opinion. And Flory Badunga, in terms of kind of being an interior eraser, it is definitely something that I would be, you know, worried about if I'm St. John's. I think overall those two teams, very, very similar. If you look at KenPom, you know, they have them within a point and a half over 100 possessions in terms of efficiency margin. And also St. John's, 44th in offense, 12th in defense, Kansas, 57th in offense, 10th in defense. So both of these teams near the top 10 in defense, kind of 40s, 50s in offense. So, you know, unreliable tournament offense, but very, very strong defense. So they'll be a low scoring game when they play each other. But that's if they can get past their respective matchups. I think Cal Baptist probably not going to beat Kansas. I don't think they have what it takes. They're also built similarly, though. This is a top 50 adjusted defense in the country, which is pretty good for a team that's sub 100 in KenPom and also a 13 seed. And then you, of course, have Northern Iowa, who actually kind of the same thing. They're 24th in defense, 72nd overall in KenPom. Their offense, though, is really, really bad. If they can shoot, this is going to be a really difficult game for St. John's. But if they play how they normally play on offense, they're gonna struggle. It's just plain and simple. I mean, this team guards the three really well. They guard everything really well. But they normally don't get the offense that they need to really pull away from teams. You know, a lot of their losses this year are very, very, very low scoring, where, you know, they're not getting above 70 points. I mean, they lost a game this year. They had a 5-game losing streak this year where every single game they were held below 70 points. And even the game on the other end of that, they scored 62 in a win against Evansville, who's in quad four. The interesting thing with UNI is that they've gotten healthier as the year has gone on. So that's a really interesting 4-5, 12-13, you know, pod there. But I think in reality, none of those teams have the peak. Like I just said, we talked about, you know, how good those defenses are. Duke's defense is better than all of those teams' defense is. And then also Duke has a top five offense and Cameron Boozer to go with that. I just don't see that team losing, at least at the top of that region. And in the bottom of the region, I will say, I've taken a lot of time to talk about this region, but I think it's one of the more interesting ones. UCLA, I think this team, you're looking at teams to pick that are kind of undervalued, overseeded teams to lose early, underseeded teams to win. UConn is 11th on KenPom. That's bad for a two seed, just plain and simple. The other two seeds are all in the top eight. Houston is fifth, Iowa State is sixth, Purdue is eighth. The one seeds are all the top four on KenPom. So when you're looking at teams that you want to pick to lose, UConn at 11 on KenPom as a two seed. Michigan State's rated higher than this team. I don't think this team is going very far. I also think that they played with their food against bad teams all year long, and it's come back to bite them. This team is built on their defense. They're probably the fourth, maybe the fifth best defense in the region. So in terms of the bottom of this region, I'm a big South Florida over Louisville supporter. In the first round, Louisville's just struggled to beat, really any tournament level competition, whereas South Florida's hot, great coaching staff as well. Michigan State should be able to roll all the way to the Sweet 16 with relative ease through either Louisville or South Florida, because that's the type of team that Louisville always loses to, and I don't think South Florida has what it takes to beat Michigan State, even if they get past Louisville. But then I'm also a big proponent of, look, this tournament's going to be mostly chalk, but if there's a team that's vulnerable in that top eight, it's 100% UConn. I'm very supportive of picking UCLA over UConn if you're looking for kind of a savvy pick where, you know, name brand people will pick the other team. I think UCLA over UConn's a pretty good one to take. That being said, I have a hard time believing that UCLA is going to go all the way through this region, because they have not been good in really anything that's not LA the entire season. And I find it hard to believe that they're going to take the East region of all regions and even make that to the Elite Eight. Even if they beat UConn, I think Michigan State is going to get their revenge for the Big Ten tournament loss. So also Michigan State beat them by 30 when they played them earlier in the season. So I think that Michigan State and Duke are destined for their, you know, matchup that they, I don't know, they're entangled playing each other until the end of time. They're always playing each other in the Elite Eight, especially recently. So Duke, Michigan State in the Elite Eight feels familiar, probably going to happen again. I think that's the matchup. I think Duke wins. I think, again, Duke is just so much better than every other team in this region, because there is a lot of defensive teams in this region, and yet Duke has the best defense. So that one's pretty cut and dry to me. Going down to the South, who will, of course, face off with the East in the Final Four. This is Florida's region, and this region is scary, because I think all year long, if I were to pick teams that I thought could make it to the Final Four, there are three of them in this region. And I'd probably say I'd only limit that group to maybe seven teams in the country, and maybe at times an eighth team. I think right now I've landed on seven plus one of the teams that's kind of, you know, has the talent, i.e. Purdue, Michigan State, Gonzaga, UConn probably will make it, and we just don't really know who. But at any point in the year, I think the seven teams that I would point to are Duke, Arizona, Michigan, Florida, Houston, Iowa State, and Illinois. And interestingly, Illinois, like I said, you look for underseeded teams. Houston is the fifth team in KenPom, barely behind Florida, who of course is the worst one seed by a large margin behind Duke, Arizona, and Michigan. And then Illinois is not too far behind either of those two at the same time. So three teams in this region seeded that are obviously the 1-2 and the 3 seed, but they're fourth, fifth, and seventh in KenPom. So they're all pretty even. I mean, I think no matter what the matchup is there in the Elite Eight in this region, it'll be like a 2.5 point, 1.5 point spread, maybe 3.5, depending on how well some of these teams are playing before. It's just kind of an interesting battle. But I think where I have kind of said to a lot of people, I mean, look, if I'm giving you guys bracket advice on here, if you're going to not pick a one seed to make the Final Four, you only want to pick two or three of them. Florida's the one to pick against because of Houston, because of Illinois. There's a lot of strength in this region. Houston, dominant defense. Illinois, dominant offense. I was making the point that Duke, of course, you know, defense first team, but still really good on offense. Duke has the best offense and the best defense in their region. Illinois has the best offense in this region. Houston has the best defense in this region. Florida has neither. They are right in between, and overall their numbers are better because they're barely worse than Houston on defense and a little bit worse than considerably worse, but like within the top 10 too on offense. So Florida top 10 in both. Meanwhile, Illinois second in offense, 28th in defense. Houston 14th on offense, fifth on defense. So some interesting battles there. But I think, you know, you could go any of those three teams and I'd feel pretty confident about it. My personal pick out of this region is Houston because I just believe that, you know, this year they not only have, I think this might be the best guard play they've had in a while. I think Kingston Fleming's, when you're talking about him versus, you know, the guys of the past, LJ Cryer, obviously comes to mind in terms of recently Jamal Shedd. He might be the best of that bunch, honestly. And then also having Emmanuel Sharpe and Milos Yuzan, who both have the experience. I really, really, really like what this Houston team has. I've been a big fan of theirs all year long. Illinois, I think because of their defense, is just a little bit vulnerable to lose. I think, you know, even pretty early on against a team like St. Mary's, a team like A&M, who are both kind of defense first a little bit, they could still give up points to those teams because they just don't play. They just don't play great on defense themselves. So it's a really interesting conversation. But I think Illinois, though, at the same time, with North Carolina and VCU as their potential second round opponents, they have a pretty easy way to get to the Sweet 16. It'll be interesting to see what happens once they play whoever is there, though. And then moving back to the top of the bracket, Vanderbilt obviously still has a chance to beat Florida again. That wouldn't shock me at all. Nebraska, I feel confident, is probably going to lose to Vanderbilt. But, you know, things can happen in March. March is crazy. Vanderbilt could have a bad game and lose to McNeese and open things up for Nebraska. I still think Florida to the Elite Eight is still pretty safe. But for sure, Sweet 16 Elite Eight is where I tend to fade out on Florida, whether I'm picking Vanderbilt to beat them or I'm picking them to lose to Houston. But that being said, again, official pick here, I'm picking Houston to rematch with Duke in the Final Four. And then going back to the West on the opposite side of the bracket, look, this is Arizona's region to lose, but there are some dangerous teams in here, right? I mean, Wisconsin, this is a team that can outshoot anybody, and Arizona's not going to shoot very much. So there's an interesting battle there of clashing philosophies. And yet, even though Wisconsin's going to outshoot everybody, Arizona's still a more efficient offense. And then defensively, Wisconsin does not have what it takes to stop an offense that good. And the same thing goes for Arkansas, who's also another team that can outshoot, out-talent pretty much everybody, but also doesn't play like a defense. So Arizona, meanwhile, is probably the most consistent team across the year. They've never quite reached the heights that Duke has at their peak, that Michigan has at their peak. And yet they also have been in that top three the entire season. They've never faded out of it. They've pretty much been second or first no matter what. Maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks, Duke and Michigan were 1 and 2 for a decent amount of time. But Arizona has now found their way back to number 2 on KenPom. I think number 2 in America's hearts, probably, and minds, too. But look, I will say when I was talking about, I have gripes with where these teams were placed. I would have loved it if Arkansas or Wisconsin was placed with Florida, because I would have picked either of those two teams to make a run and beat Florida and felt pretty confident about it. But they're playing the one team that's a little too consistent. They don't have the injury concerns that Duke or Michigan has. They're just too good. They're too consistent. They're too good. I think Arizona is going to advance at least to the Elite Eight in this region. And then things get kind of interesting, because if you look at the bottom of this region, you have Gonzaga, you have Purdue, you have Miami. Purdue has, of course, you know, their reputation of choking, you could say, but I think it's a little bit overblown. They're playing really, really well. They're playing their best at the end of the season. Then you have Gonzaga, who I think is a really solid team, but, you know, has some injury issues with Braden Huff. We'll see what his status is for the tournament. They've learned how to play without him at this point, to the point that they've adapted their style. They figured it out. We'll see how that holds up in the tournament. I think Purdue is going to advance out of the bottom of this region. And I think, despite how chalk it is, I think I'm going 1-2 in this region, just like I did in the South region. I think this is definitely another 1-2 region. I think Arizona beats Purdue to get to the Final Four. But again, looking for a value pick, I don't hate taking Purdue to the Final Four. I just do think that you're probably taking out the team that I would pick to win the championship. So it's a rough proposition to say I'm going to take out the championship favorite or even one of the three dominant favorites to put Purdue in the Final Four, even if then they're not going to actually go anywhere from there. So I've leaned picking Arizona more often than not, but I really do think Purdue has some value there. And Gonzaga too. I could really see it happening. And then you have the Midwest, which this is like the player availability region. Starting all the way at the bottom with Kentucky. I mean, this is the team that's been injured all season long. They have a great roster on paper, but they haven't had those guys playing at any point in the season. They've never been fully healthy. They're not going to be fully healthy in the tournament. They've learned to play with their not fully healthy roster, but this team does not have the peak that a lot of the other sevens do, honestly. I think it's pretty clear that Iowa State is going to advance kind of out of that pod there. I think Santa Clara is an interesting team. I'm picking Santa Clara over Kentucky, for what that's worth, if anybody really cares. I think that Santa Clara is just a really hard team to guard. They're a really weird team to prepare for, and I think they take that advantage. I think they're a lot better than people give them credit for, just because, obviously, smaller name. And I also think there are a lot of people who, if you're, you know, at home making a bracket, there are a lot of people who are just going to see Kentucky versus Santa Clara, with Kentucky as a 7 and Santa Clara as a 10, and say, no way Santa Clara wins as a 10 seed against Kentucky. So even off that alone, there's a lot of value on picking Santa Clara, just because you can. And just because it's going to be a contrarian pick that honestly is not the worst pick in the world. They're a lot closer to each other than people would assume. You know, normally the power conference teams high up on KenPom, higher up in the predictives than the, you know, mid-majors are. In reality, Kentucky's 28th on KenPom. Santa Clara's 35th. There is not much separation there at all. Very interesting matchup there, though, too, I will say. Then you have Virginia, who's arguably one of the hottest teams in the country. I mean, I don't think anybody's beaten Virginia that's not Duke in maybe 3 months. It's been forever. It was January 24th, the last time Virginia lost to a not Duke team. That team was North Carolina when they were fully healthy. They had Caleb Wilson in that game. Virginia has only lost to Duke since February started. That's a pretty tough thing to go against for anybody in this region. So I think Virginia pretty easily advances past Wright State. Tennessee is not a team that I trust really just at all. I don't really know what to make of this team. There's a reason they're 22-11. They have 11 losses, but all of them are close. And, you know, sometimes they're really stacking up against the best of the best. And other times, you know, they're grinding out games. They're losing to Missouri. Like, you can kind of go either way with this team. I mean, you know, they were down by, I think, 10 to Auburn, then went on like a 19-0 run. So they're weird. Tennessee is Tennessee, man. I mean, they beat Houston and then 2 weeks later lost to Syracuse. Like, all year long, they've been a weird team. I think they're a perfect team to pick to win a game and then lose to Virginia, just because Virginia's playing so well right now, and that's kind of what I've landed on. So that's where I'm going at the bottom of the Midwest, with Virginia and Iowa State. Again, really chalky, but I've said this all year. The top of the country is so much better than it has ever been before that this is worth – it's worth taking really chalk this year in the later rounds. I mean, like, you know, everybody has said multiple times you can't compare KenPom across seasons, but I would just like to say that the year that we had the wild Final Four with UConn taking it all as a 4 seed and San Diego State in it as a 5 and FAU as a 9, the top team on KenPom at the end of the season was UConn at plus 29.86. There were three teams, the next three teams, Houston, UCLA, and Alabama, that were all in the 27.28 to 27.72 range. Virginia is 26.71, and Vanderbilt is 27.51. That's your 12th and 13th best teams this year. So there's a lot of really, 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 really good teams, at least when you're comparing to teams that, you know, are the mid-majors who are closer to that average team level. There shouldn't be many upsets early. Now, late, these teams are competitive, right? Tennessee can be competitive. They could beat Virginia. I could see, maybe not Iowa State specifically, but, you know, I could see Houston losing to St. Mary's. I could see, obviously, you know, a team like Arkansas, a team like Wisconsin making a run. You could see those things happening for sure. But I just don't think that it'll happen early on enough to the point that we'll have a really, really crazy bracket. And I think this is one of the regions, especially where that's true, especially at the bottom, where I think it's going to be Iowa State and Virginia. I think Iowa State, they're just so solid on defense that even if they're not shooting lights out, they're going to beat any team that's significantly worse than them. And I think they're going to, you know, bring that clutch factor through, play well in a neutral court environment when they're playing against a team like Virginia. I see them summoning that good play again, just like they did in the Big 12 tournament, almost knocking off Arizona there. So that's a really interesting thing. And the reason why I left the top of the Midwest for last, every single team here has an issue. Georgia lacks size. As soon as Santo Cyril is in foul trouble, this team doesn't have really many reliable big men. St. Louis has been bad for maybe a month running at this point. They have barely beaten some bad teams. They got beat up by George Mason at home. Texas Tech doesn't have JT Toppin, and Christian Anderson got injured, but is definitely going to play. You have Alabama, who obviously is without Aiden Holloway now, so pretty much everybody in this region has an issue. And obviously Michigan, of course, with the LJ Cason injury that we've talked enough about, that I don't need to rehash that. But look, there are a lot of injury issues in this region. There's a lot of availability issues in general. It's hard to pick a team that's going to come out of this region. I still lean, though, the fact that even though Michigan, you know, people like to say haven't been playing as well since Cason went down. People have said that, but the end of the game against Illinois, Michigan was still fine without Cason. The other games beyond that, yes, they've played teams close, but they still only lost to Purdue. And Purdue was, of course, the preseason AP number one, and just hasn't lost games recently. So despite the fact that, you know, Michigan has played teams close, yes, they played Iowa close. Yes, they played Michigan State close. Yes, they played Ohio State close. Yes, they played Wisconsin close. Guess what? All four of those teams are in the tournament. Iowa's a 9 seed. Ohio State's an 8 seed. Michigan State's a 2 seed. Wisconsin's a 5 seed. So yes, they lost to Purdue, who's a 2 seed, but I don't see Michigan losing to an 8 or a 9. They'll make it close. I could see that totally, just like Iowa did, just like Ohio State at the end of the season. But I do think that they might keep it close, but they're probably not going to have what it takes to win that game. And I also think there's an advantage with the Big Ten teams that are kind of more prepared to deal with that style, and they kind of know what they're looking for when they're playing a team like Michigan, or just really any team that's kind of built from its front court. Whereas teams that aren't in the Big Ten don't really build their teams that way. So Michigan's more of a matchup dilemma for other teams in this tournament. That being said, I think you could really pick anybody you want out of Texas Tech, Akron, Alabama, and Hofstra and have not an equal chance of being right, but, you know, you can pick whatever, and I still think the smarter pick is just to pick Michigan to get past those teams. I think St. Louis is probably the team that has the highest chance to beat Michigan before the Elite Eight, honestly, which is crazy to say, but a hard team to prepare for off of, you know, one day rest. And the reality is, if St. Louis does catch fire shooting, that's a really hard team for Michigan to beat. And that has kind of proven to be the formula to beat Michigan, drag the bigs out, outshoot them. And that's something that Robbie Avila obviously can do. So St. Louis could definitely beat Michigan. But then again, they have to get past Georgia first. They're not even favored in that game. It's a very interesting region overall, especially this pod. But I think in the end, I'm going to be boring. I'm going to pick Michigan to make it to the Elite Eight. And then between Michigan and Iowa State in the Elite Eight, I think that's just going to be, that would be a really, really good game. I think if you're worried about picking too chalk in a year where it feels like everybody's picking chalk, I think it's fine to just say Iowa State, just that you don't have too many one seeds in the Final Four. My personal pick, still Michigan, which means, of course, I have a 3-1 seed Final Four with 2 seed Houston. And I think that the title game is Duke and Arizona. And I think that Duke takes it home for the title, or Arizona. Frankly, I don't have a strong lean out of those two. I think that very clearly one of those top three is going to take it home. I think that Michigan's injuries concern me the most. and their level of play recently concerns me the most out of any of those three. But I still think that Duke has a fair shot, even with the injuries they have. And I think, Arizona is kind of that consistent level, but I think you do have to play at a higher peak in the tournament. And I think Arizona is a team that's probably the safest bet to make the Final Four out of any of those teams. But once they get there, I think they're running into teams that are playing their best. And I don't know if Arizona is going to be able to match that from a few teams. So I do think that Duke ends up being my title pick, although I also think Arizona is a great pick. I think Michigan's a great pick. I think Iowa State's a great pick. I think Houston's also a great one too. And I think those are kind of the six that I'm really, really isolating. I think Illinois got a tough draw with the region. Otherwise, I would have picked them too. And then also Florida, of course, just being the fourth one seed, there's a reason why they're up there. Let's not forget that they were probably one of the hottest teams in the country, if not the hottest team, before they lost in the SEC tournament. That being said, though, that's my full breakdown of the NCAA tournament. And of course, that will wrap up this edition of the 4th and 24 podcast. Please be sure to check out our next podcast, which will be on Tuesday, March 24th, where we will once again talk about my weekend predictions, return to having our weekly review of the NBA, and talk more about the NCAA tournament with actual results this time. And we will also preview the MLB season. In the meantime, check out my picks for next weekend's games, which will be posted as always on Thursday. And there will be no more bracketology, obviously. So all of that is on our social media handles at 4th and 24. That's the number 4, THAND, plus the number 24. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.